Like he said, we've known for well over 25 years. I know you are surprised because I look like 21 years old. Amen. Oh, do I look younger than that? The way you're looking, I'm wondering. At least you can see I don't have any gray hair. Can you know? Have you noticed that? It's an amazing grace. Amen. Praise God. So it's my joy to be here, and I'm sure we're going to have a wonderful time in God's presence. The book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter number 17, from verse 11. If you don't know where the book of Luke is, you have to look for it. So tell somebody, look for Luke. Luke, chapter number 17, I start to read from verse 11. Thus beginneth the reading of God's word. And it came to pass, as he went through to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was ill, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 that were cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found a return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen. My topic for this morning is praise audit. Praise audit. We all know that we audit accounts, we audit inventories. This is the audit of praise. Let us pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your opportunity to preach your word to your people. Thank you, Lord, because you make my mouth like that of the ready writer. Our hearts are ready. Our hearts are prepared to receive of your wonderful word. We give you praise and glory because we will receive it today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody shall. Amen. I love the way that Luke chapter 17 verse 11 started. He started by saying, it's come to pass. Let me turn to your neighbor and say, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. Somebody asked me long ago and said, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? I said, well, it's not particularly a verse, it's a phrase. And the phrase is, and it come to pass. Because it makes me realize, no matter what I'm going through, it's coming to pass. Things might not be working, but it's coming to pass. Everything might look upside down, but it's coming to pass. If I think of where I'm coming from and where I am now, I know it's coming to pass. The Bible said we are overcomers. Overcomer means it might come, but we will overcome. Hallelujah. So I want you to know that it's coming to pass. No wonder the Bible said, why we look not at the things that are seen, but the ones that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the ones that are not seen are eternal. It's coming to pass. Your tie might look like skipping rope, but it's coming to pass. Your blazer might look like that of Mungo Park, but it's coming to pass. Your shoe might be cobbler loche and not gushy, but it's coming to pass. Can we give your neighbor a push and say, it's coming to pass? It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. I don't care what is it has been like for you, but it's coming to pass. Things might seem as if it's not working, but it's coming to pass. I wanted to know that this is just the first half, like we have been saying. And I remember in 1989, there was a match in Saudi Arabia between Nigeria and Russia, where Russia believed there was no God, and we in Nigeria, we believe in God. We pray before a match, we pray during the match, we pray after the match. And the Russians said there is no God, and we're going to play in Saudi Arabia for the Muslims to church. So trust us, in Nigeria, we started praying and fasting that we were going to show them. The day of the match, everybody was praying. I remember in our own sitting room, we stood up praying, and all of a sudden it was 1-0, Russia 1, Nigeria 0. But we are still singing, it's a miracle working God, 2-0, Russia 2, Nigeria 0. Ah, then we say, all we are saying, God, 3-0, 4-0. We say, whoa, it's over. At that point in time, my brother stopped praying. He's now the provincial pastor for the team in Cape Town. He said, I'm not watching again. I'm not praying again. One man in Abba carried his television through that of the window. Another man in Calabar slapped his wife. But what everybody had forgotten was that that was just the first half. That is a God of the second half. By the time the match started again, it became 1-4, 2-4, 3-4, 4-4, and we won that match. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. You will win this year. It's coming to pass. Somebody said, but well, even if it comes to pass, it might be too late. Everybody has gotten a job. Everybody has gotten their stay. Everybody has gotten their permanent residence. Everybody has gotten married. Everybody has gotten engaged. It does not matter because it won't be your turn. Hello? Somebody said to me, but yeah, even if I got it after they've gotten it, my own is late. I said, your own is not late. Your own is the latest. Somebody's about to get the latest blessing, the latest victory, the latest victory in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass. And I love the fact that that verse 11 said, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And when it comes to verse 12, the Bible said, he entered into a certain village. Are you not excited that you serve a God that can pass through several people to get to you? Oh, did anybody get what I'm saying? The Bible said in John chapter 4, Jesus said, we must go through Samaria to meet a prostitute. Oh, give your neighbor an Holy Ghost help and say, God knows my address. God knows my address. He knows where I am. He knows where I live. He might not have visited me, but God knows my address. And I'm excited. I passed through Samaria, which was a bubbly city. Passed through Galilee, which was a prosperous city, to go meet some men in the village. That is to say, it does not matter how rich you are, God is still looking for me. Come on now. Oh, post for your neighbor like poster callers. I might not drive what you drive, but God is looking for me. I might not be married like you're married, but God is looking for me. I might not have degree like you have degree, but God is looking for me. I might not be blessed like you are blessed, but God is looking for me. And the Bible said he came into a certain village. I'm excited because there is a God that remembers people in the village. I'm happy that God does not only remember people in the UK or in the US, even we in the United States of Ibadan. Come on now, come on now. That's where I come from. God knows where we are. Is anybody blessed to know we serve a God like that? I love what Smith Wigglesworth said in Bristol, United Kingdom years ago. Smith Wigglesworth said there is something about faith that make God to jump over 1 million people to get to you. That's awesome. So the Bible said he entered into the village and he saw 10 men that were afar off. Where were they afar off? Because they cannot stay in the place of other people. Other people have limbs, they don't have limbs. And many a times in life, things happen to us that makes us to be afar off. Oh, come on now. When married people are talking, some of you have to stand afar off. When people with a good car are talking, some of you have to stand afar off. When people with children are talking, some of you have to stand afar off. When people with permanent residency are talking, some of you have to stand afar off. But when God steps into your situation, he brings you to the place where you are meant to be. It does not matter that they have gone ahead of you. You are catching up and leaving them behind. Years ago, I was going to preach in one of the largest redeemed churches in the U.S. for Pastor Tola Odutola, and I had to pass through Chicago. And I was listening to Creflo Dollar on my iPod, so I was having a good time. But when I checked my time, I discovered, oh, I should be boarding. So I was asking, excuse me, where is gate B12? The guy I asked looked at me and shook his head. Then laughed. He said, B12? He said, you left it behind since. He said, did you see one stairs that is long up? I said, I saw it. I pity people climbing it. Then he laughed. He said, that's where you should have been climbing. Oh, I said, let me turn back. He said, it's too late. Before you walk back, before you climb up, the plane will have left. I said, what will I do now? He said, well, you got to pay for a fine to get on. And I was thinking, what will I do? What will I do? The protocols are waiting for me at BWI. What will I do? While I was waiting, it was as if God sent an angel to me. And the lady came and said, what's the problem here? I told her, she said, follow me. And she was moving towards the direction that he said was wrong. I said, excuse me, they said this is the wrong direction. She said, follow me. So I follow her momentarily. What do I have to lose? And we got to a gate, they leave, she pressed the button. She said, step in. You will get to gate B2 faster than people that took the right way. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. It looks as if you took the wrong way. It looks as if everybody had left you behind. It looks as if they will be boarding by now, but you get there before them. Ah! By the time I got there, all of them had not come. I was the first to get there. So I sat down posting like poster color, sitting like sitting room, enjoying myself. When they started calling me, they were looking at me as if I'm a witch. I didn't send them. Then one African-American woman came to me and said, excuse me, we were calling you. You didn't answer. I said, I didn't hear. I was listening to Crapulous Dollar. She said, whatever. My question is, how did you get here? One day they will ask you, how did you get here? They left you behind, but they will meet you in front. God will push you to the place of destiny. They will be surprised about where you will get to. I told them there was a lift ahead of me. There will be a lift ahead of you. In the name of Jesus. So verse 13 said, and they lifted up their voice. Oh my word. Years ago in London, a black man, African man, was shouting, praying. You know the way we Africans pray. And one white British lady went to him and said, excuse me, why are you shouting like that? God is not deaf. And the guy looked at the woman and said, yes, but God is not nervous either. He can stand my shout. Glory to God. He can stand my shout. God is not nervous. If I shout, he hears me. And I love what they were shouting. Bible said they were shouting mercy. Somebody shout mercy. I know you have money, but somebody shout mercy. I know you are happily married, but somebody shout mercy. If the Bible said that we have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. You are not married because you are fine. Final people are not married. You don't have children because you know how to do it. People that know how to do it better don't have children. You are not in UK because you have your way. People that know their way didn't get to UK. Touch your neighbor and say, God will show me mercy. God will show me mercy. So lift up your mind, somebody, and shout mercy. Say, oh, Lord, I don't need pounds, I need mercy. I don't just need a house, I need mercy. I don't just need children, I need mercy. I just don't need education, I need mercy. Because when God shows you mercy, everybody will envy you. They will wonder you are doing it and you are getting results. Somebody shout, mercy. You know, these guys were standing afar off. And they are not meant to even come to town. But they knew if they can encounter the mercy of God, all things will go well. And when God shows you mercy, people that mock you will come back to see the miracle. People that laugh at you will come back to laugh with you. I remember years ago, I had an office. Should I call it an office? It was somebody's kitchenette that I took over and turned to my office. And some guys came to visit me. They were meant to be my friend. I one guy with his fiancée and his own friend. And the guy said to me, okay, Femi, so what's that? The name of your ministry again? And I said, what a blessed mission, international. What a blessed mission. He said, say everything. So I said, everything. What a blessed mission, international. And they started laughing. They were rolling on the floor. And I was wondering why they were laughing. I said, why are you laughing? Then my friend said, is that international? You go from Abule Egba to Akowoye to Akure to Adoekiti. You call it international. And they laughed. And I pretended as if he didn't pay me. But when they left, I sat down on the floor. I said, God, this is not fair. And you are the one that told me it is international. And it's true, I'm suffering from a God where you try to drink it, you drink it, you try Google. But today I'm the one laughing. Glory to God. On this trip on Friday, I preach in Dubai. I'm preaching here today, tomorrow in London, on Wednesday, Thursday in Liverpool. Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, I'm in Manchester, Saturday in Milton Keynes, Sunday in London, then I'm on my way back to Nigeria. Glory to God, hallelujah. They asked my daughter one time, where do you people live? She said, we live in Nigeria, my daddy lives in the sky. My wife said, when you see a plane passing, just say bye-bye, my husband might be in it. When God speaks, it comes to pass. But it's by the mercy of God. It's not that you are qualified, just that God shows you mercy. It's not that you are that righteous, that God shows you mercy. That is why that Romans 9:15 said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. Then when they shouted mercy, verse 14, I found very, very amazing. In verse 14, the Bible says, and when he saw them, oh my word, nobody looks at the lepers. There were people that were begging, but God saw them. Aren't you happy that God sees you? Hallelujah. I love this song that says, God knows my name. Other people might not know my name, but God knows my name. They might look at you and call you, Wos, Wobi. They don't know your name. But tell your neighbor, God knows my name. Ask somebody close to you, say, do you know my name? Tell them it doesn't matter. God knows my name. God knows my name. God. He sees every tear that drops. You know, one thing about church is that we all come with a mask. We come looking, not looking like what we have been through. But it does not matter what you are going through. God knows your name. The Bible said God saw them. What a good God. Nobody was seeing them. Nobody is talking to them. Nobody is hanging around them. But God, Jesus, sees them. I don't know what you are going through this morning. I just want you to know Jesus knows. Your pastor might not know. Your head of units might not know. In fact, sometimes your husband might not know. Your wife might not know. Your children might not know. But God knows. God knows. God knows. God knows. Bible said Jesus saw them. And he said something very funny to them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Excuse me. They were lepers. You only go to the priest when you are healed. If you go to the priest and you are not healed, you get punished for that. And the punishment could be death. And they were still lepers. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And they were stupid enough to go. I've discovered something about God. He gives you obedience before he gives you the miracle. Somebody said to me, excuse me, sir, what do I do when God does not seem to be making sense? I said, God is not meant to make sense. It's meant to make your spirit. Most of the things God will tell you to do does not make sense. I was in Bielsa 4 years ago to preach in a church. And as I got to the seat where they put me, I was worshiping God. I was fasting. So I wanted to break my fast. And I had a voice that says, build me a cathedral. I pretended as if I didn't hear. Have you tried that with God before? Then he said, build me a cathedral. I still pretended as if I didn't hear him. Then he said, I said, build me a cathedral. I said, this can't be God. Then God said, why? I said, because if it is God, he will know that there is no money in any account. So I started mentioning the accounts to him where there is no money. And God did not change his mind. Have you tried to change God's mind before? It does not work. And today, that same cathedral, we spent $1 million. Not in UK, not in US, in Ibadan, Nigeria. Because God speaks. So when God says, move, move. Why? Because the miracle is in the moving. Oh, glory to God. Somebody came to me and said, you walk in signs and wonders. How come me I'm not seeing signs and wonders? I said, because the Bible said this sign shall follow them, not stand with them. So you have to be moving before you can see the signs and the wonders. This sign shall follow them that believe. So for the sign to follow, you must be moving. Look at what happened. Bible says, and as they went. Let me look for somebody close to you and push them and say, go. Go, 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 go. As they went. They were not healed when they stood. If they had been waiting to be healed to go, they wait forever. But he said, go show yourself to the priest. I remember something very funny happened years ago in Poraka. I was preaching and I said to the people, oh, you want to get married, go price the wedding gown. You want to get a car, go price the car. You want to move to a new house, go price the house. Whatever you want to do, just take a step of faith. And when I said that, one guy came to give his testimony. He said he went to where they're selling brand new Jeep. And he was looking around. And he said, this one, can I test drive it? Oh, they say, yeah, we can drive it and you see by us around the compound. And they did, and he said, this is a good car. And they said, when are you buying? When he wanted to talk, one man came in with his girlfriend. And they two were looking around. And after a while, the man came to this, my son in the Lord, and said, excuse me, you see, I have a bit of a problem here. Only you can help me. My son said, how? He said, you see, that girl is my girlfriend, and she's stubborn. She's very stubborn. I want to buy a car now. She looked around, she said, this is the only one she wants. And they said, there is only one available. And I told her to choose another one. She said, no, she wants this one. My son said, well, that's the one I want to. No money in his pocket. No, that's the one I want to. The man said, you don't worry. They said they can order another one, but it will take 3 months. But this girl is stubborn. She will give me hell in 3 months. What I will do is I will buy your own and buy this one for her. And you just need to wait 3 months. My son is a poster. I said, The man said, okay, don't worry. I'll put your 100,000 on top. He said, okay, I'll manage that. Somebody here needs to go and price the car. You need to go and check out the house. I remember years ago, I put my wife in the car and we drive all over Ibadan, the beautiful houses, and I'll be dreaming with her. I'll be telling her, this kind of a house we're going to live in very soon. And we will laugh at ourselves, but we're living there now. Take a step and God meets you on the way. Come on, somebody. Let me look at somebody again and push them and say, take a step. Move. You've been standing on the same spot for too much. Move. I love what me, who's what used to say. Spirit will say, God, if you are not planning to move, I will move you because you are in me. When I move with you. The Bible said the children of Israel, they face the mighty rift sea. And God said, take the first step and enter into it. The river did not part until they took the first step. You've got to move. Say, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And verse 14, the Bible said, when one of them saw, go show yourself to the priest. As they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15 said, and when one of them saw that he was healed. One of the greatest problems we have is that some of you are not counting your blessings. You are not checking if God had done it. A lot of you, all you have is prayer point. You don't have praise point. Because you didn't check. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody came to see me years ago. She had a very terrible growth at her back. Terrible. And the doctor said, the only thing we can do is operation. And we are not sure your spinal cord can survive it. And we prayed together. And you know what? I saw her a year after. I said, come. How about that growth? She said, well, it's still there. But I've not checked though in a while. Then she tried to touch it. And she couldn't find it. And she told somebody, let me check it. And they couldn't find it. And I was rejoicing. I said, thank God he answers our prayers. When did it disappear? She said, I don't know. I've not been checking. Some of you need to check your account again. Maybe the money is there. You need to check your body. Maybe the sickness has left. Come on, somebody. You need to go and do the pregnancy test. Maybe the baby is there. Because sometimes we just don't check. The Bible said when he checked, many a times our mind are too much on the things he has not done. And we forget the things he has done. And we don't notice the things God had answered. You are looking at the next one. You know the way we are. Initially, it's I need to get married. Then you got married. You forgot to give him thanks. Then you say, I need to have a baby. Then you have a baby girl. God, I need a boy. Then you got a boy. God, I need money to send them to school. When will you remember to check and say thank you? Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Say thank you. Bible said, when he checked, I love the song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and then it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. Habakkuk 3:2 says, Lord, revive your work in the middle of the year. Glory to God. I love that because he said in the middle of the year. And this is the middle of the year. Revival is about to happen to your finances, to your health, to your marriage, to your children, to your academics, to your career. A revival is about to happen. He said, revive your work, Lord, in the middle of the year. And that is what God loves to do. But when he does it, remember. Bible said he checked. I remember something very funny happened to us last year. We were on family vacation. We normally do our vacation in December. And we were on family vacation. And my daughter, I have a daughter that's going to 15, going to 16. So when all our own visas, the rest of them, their visas came from the UK embassy, her own did not come. They said because she's moving to an age where she does not need parental consent to travel, they have to give her another kind of visa, and that will take a little time. So while we're still waiting, my son, we came to Manchester, to Liverpool. From Liverpool, we went to London. Then the family joined us in London. But while we are from London going to Dubai, and this is what we have done, we have done our visa, the rest of us, but because our own is not come, our visa was delayed. So when we got to Dubai, they said she can't enter Dubai because her visa is not yet out. They said they can see on the system that Dubai visa is processing, but she can't enter. So we all stood with her from morning. We got to Dubai like 5 a.m. By 12, 1, 2, my wife said the rest of us should go. She will stay with her. And I said, but we don't know when the visa is going to come out. She said, well, what else do we do? Then we called somebody, said, well, the visa will come out tomorrow. And we pray that we come out immediately. But my wife said, you can go, don't we? So we went. But we went, our mind was not ready. And we leave 2 out of 5 at the airport. Then in the evening, I just called her. I said, you know what? Why don't you go and check if it has been approved? She said, oh, okay. Then went to check. They told us it was approved an hour after we prayed. And they spent 6 hours extra because we didn't check. Let me look for somebody and say, go check, go check, go check, go check. That thing you're praying about, God will have done it. Go check, go check. And I love, I'm saying, when he was ill, he turned back and with a loud voice. Did you notice earlier on the Bible said when they saw Jesus, they shouted with a loud voice, have mercy on us. I love this guy. He prayed with a loud voice. He's now praising with a loud voice. Some of you, we knew how you prayed to come to UK. Ah, yeah, you went to several mountains. But now you're here. Glory to God. Praise God. Let me look at your neighbor. Is this how you prayed? Is this how you prayed? Is this how you prayed? We knew how you prayed. We knew how you prayed for that baby. Now you have the baby. You're like, well, God is good. And you are calling God, God. Is he your security officer? No, you are in UK now, so you are now Tush. You are no longer Bush like we Nigerians. But we knew how you prayed. For that wedding, for that baby, for you to come here, we knew how you prayed. But now that God has answered your praise, now is Tush. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a testimony. He said, well, you know, one thing I asked God for, he did it. Hallelujah. But that was how you asked for it. I love this guy. The Bible said, with a loud voice, he prayed loud, he thanked loud, then he turned back. Many times the problem is that some of you are pursuing the next thing on your goal that you didn't turn back to give thanks. You are so full of what had happened that you forget to turn back to give thanks. And with a loud voice, he gave thanks. And he fell down on his face, giving him thanks. One of the things I discover is that some of us, now that God had blessed us, we are too big to give him thanks. I preached a message some time ago. I titled it, Can You Still Praise Him? Now that you're a millionaire, can you still praise him? Now that you're a big boy, can you praise him? Now that you're the mother of 3 kids, can you still praise him? Now that you live in a big house, can you still praise him? Now that you have a PhD, can you still praise him? That is why I love David. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, David was going home. And the Bible said he danced so much, his royal robe dropped. And he didn't mind. And his wife, the daughter of Saul, looked at him and said, you know, I don't blame this guy. He's so bush, he's not Tush. He did not understand the protocol of the palace. A king does not dance like that. A king dances a little to the right, a little to the left, and come back to the center. Yeah. That's how big boys dance. So she came to him and said, what's your problem? Look at how you are dancing anyhow. You don't even know the protocol of royalty. I love what David said. David said in verse 21, your father. your father. David said, I'm dancing before God that raised me above your father. Maybe the reason why God removed your father was a little to the right, a little to the left. If I can dance in the bush, I'll dance in the palace. Am I talking to somebody in this house? Glory to God. Hallelujah. One of my mentors, Reverend Mrs. Funke Adejumo, said the first time she got into a first class cabin, she knelt down and started thanking God. And everybody looked at her. What's wrong with this woman? I said, your business. You didn't pay for this. God did it for me. He said, before I used to pass by. You know, airplanes, they are wicked. They will make sure that you don't just go to the economy. You pass through the fine seats. The one that look like bed. The screen is big. And you have to see it with your eyes. Before you go and cram yourself in the economy. Before chicken. Get out of the way. And that one, they will serve them champagne. They serve them drink. If they cough, say, any problem, sir? Can you still praise God? I love what David said. David said, I'm praising God that chose me above your father. If I praise him in the bush, I praise him in the palace. And I love what he said in that verse 22. He said, you have not even seen anything yet. I will still make myself like a baby. I'll mess up before God. Can you still mess up before God? Now that you are blessed, you are rich, you now use Mary Kay. You can't worship God and tear we drop again. As the tear won't drop. You don't want the Mary Kay to be disturbed. You can't even worship God. You can't even dance before God. You don't want the wig to fall off. Oh, you're blessed now. Oh, the shoe is 400 pounds. So you do a little to the left, a little to the right, and you maintain the shoe. Oh, now you're blessed. I mean, stand on your feet. Go to three people. Let me ask them, can you still praise God? Come on, stand on your feet. Go to three people. Go and me ask them, can you still praise God? Can you, now that you are blessed with your Mary Kay, can you still praise God? With your beautiful shoe, can you still praise God? With your wonderful earrings, can you still praise God? With your 2,000 pounds a week job, can you still praise God? Can you still praise God? Now that God's blessed you, you're not married, you now have children, can you still praise God? Sit down. Glory to God. And in verse 17, I was shocked. In verse 17, when Jesus started to audit the praise account. I never knew Jesus was an accountant. I never knew Jesus knew auditing. Jesus looked and said, one. When they came, I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But now, how many returned? 1. Wow. He did the auditing. I'm asking you today, if you will audit your life, have you returned to give thanks? Is your life in shortage? Look at somebody and say, you are owing God. Yeah, you are owing him praise. Yeah. And he has a record of all you need to praise him for that you've forgotten to praise him for. He audits his account. He said there were 10 of them, only one returned. I remember I did 10 miracles. So God is looking. I made sure 21 of them got married. How many had come to say thanks? I gave babies to 2,000 of them. How many of them had come to give thanks? I blessed about 1,000 of them with a good job. How many have come to give thanks? I called about 21 of them and blessed them with something good. How many of them had come to give thanks? And it makes me to realize that God might still be looking for your praise. You still owe him praise. He's still auditing his account and your praise is missing. He's auditing his account and your thanksgiving is missing. The first 6 months of this year. Somebody said, well, I will have praised him, but you don't understand. I have consistent headache. It's because you have a head that you have headache. People that don't have head don't have headache. So if you can't thank him for the headache, thank him for the head. my husband is misbehaving. Eh? You have husband. That is the prayer point of 1,001 people. Oh, you, my children, they are not doing well in school. See, Pastor Bembe says, yes, son, he got an award. Ah, you have children. You have children. My car is not a good car. You have car and you can drive. You don't know my job. Oh, my. You have a job? Ha! And you can go to work. I remember a song we used to sing. Some have food, they can't eat. Some can eat, they don't have food. But I have food and I can eat. But some of you are complaining the meat is not enough. Ha! You have food, you can eat. All glory to his name. Somebody said, but you know, the first half of this year, I lost some things. Is the reason why you have not lost everything. So I love to say, a man that refused to be grateful is a great fool. Because if you pause to think, there is a cause to thank. And Jesus said, it was 10. I remember from records. I healed 10. How come? I'm saying only one. And verse 18. Give me verse 18. And the Bible said, only this stranger came to give glory to God. Now give me verse 19 as I close. Then he said unto him, you arise, go your way. Your faith has made thee whole. Remember, they were lepers. What leprosy does is like cut off limbs. And so he said to them, you are healed, which means no longer will your limbs be cut. But you see, which means he stopped at the point he said, you are healed. So as they move, they notice that the dripping is no longer dripping. That the hand is no longer receding. The leg is no longer receding. And some of them remember, see what has happened to me. I couldn't go home before I'm going to my wife. Some say, hey, all this while, Toya has been posing for me. I'm going to show him I'm now healed. Hey, I've always wanted to go to the stadium to watch Arsenal. I'm going to the stadium. But when someone saw that the leprosy had stopped, he turned back first to say, thank you. And Jesus looked at him, that there is a reward for this action. I know the leprosy has stopped, but now behold, the rest of them leprosy stopped, but the cut limbs still remain cut. The cut legs still remain cut. But for this one, Jesus commanded, let everything grow back. If you don't give him praise, you are robbing yourself. If you don't give him thanks, you are robbing yourself. Because there is more. Come on now. There is more. If he gives you a son, he can make the son very wonderful. There is more. If he gives you a house, he can give you a bigger one. There is more. If he gets you blessed, he can bless you with more. There is more. But you need to praise your way into more. The reason why you have not received what you are believing for was because the one you received, you forgot to give thanks. Today, as we enter into the second half, I've come with a word from God to you. Praise him. Because your second half can be the better half. He said the path of the just, Proverbs 4:18, is like a shining light. It gets better and better and better and better unto the perfect day. So the latter should be better. That's what it means. The latter should be better. But for you to push into it, you need to praise him. I love the psalmist that said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. So if you pause to think, there is a cause to thank. If you pause to think, there is a cause to thank. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me. Look at somebody and say, you don't know all he's done for me. You don't know all. There are some I didn't share. There are some nobody knew. You don't know all he's done for me. He buttered my bread. He sugared my tea. You saw bread. You saw tea. But you didn't know what's on top. You don't know what he's done for me. You don't know the bush I came from. You don't know what he's done for me. That is why I came in here a visitor. But during the praise and worship, I was worshiping God. Because you don't know what he's done. done for me. I love to dance before him because you have no clue what he's done for me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, he said, my soul shall shout. Is there anybody with a shouting soul? Is there anybody with a shouting soul? Is there anybody with a shouting soul? He said, my soul shall shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from sickness, for saving me from lack, for saving me from the enemy, for saving me from myself. Thank you. Years ago, John Wesley, in UK here, went out with his food and he was mugged. And he came back home and he was rolling on the floor thanking God. He was robbed. They mugged him. They took his food away. And he was rolling on the floor. And you know, his wife was a tough woman. And Mrs. Wesley said, John, why are you thanking God rolling on the floor? And John said, I'm thanking God rolling on the floor because today I was mugged and they stole my food. And the wife said, you have to be a fool. They stole your food, you are praising God. You have no reason to praise God. And John Wesley said, you are wrong. I have 3 reasons to praise God. Number one, I'm praising God because it is food they took, not my life. Number two, I'm praising God because I'm the one they stole from. I'm not the one stealing from people. Number three, I'm praising God that though they can steal my food, they can't steal my appetite. If you pause to think, there is a cause to thank. Stand on your feet, everybody. Lift up your hands and start to give him praise and start to give him glory. Don't just praise him. Just praise him in your way. Hallelujah. I like to praise him and dance before him. Don't say you can make melody in your heart. You don't need drums. You don't need keyboard. You can make melody in your heart. Father, I thank you. Father, I give you praise. I love what they said. Paul said, I praise him in tongues. I praise him in understanding. Somebody needs to praise God for your health. For your health. Many are in the hospital. For your mind that is sane. For your mind that is saying that you are not crazy, that you are not mad. For your mind that is saying you need to thank God. Thank you that you lifted up your hand, it will be lifted. You walk with your leg is moving. Thank him for what he has done. He's able to do exceeding abundantly, far above all you ask or think, according to his power that worketh in you. Thank him that you can come to church this morning. Thank him, your leg is walking. Thank you, your mouth is speaking. Thank him, your eyes can see. Thank him, thank him, thank him. He kept you in the midst of good people. Thank him, you are in the United Kingdom and you are not in prison. Thank him, you are not in jail. Some people are in jail and it's not because you are better than them. It's because God favored you. It's because God favored you. Thank him, thank him, thank him for your children, for your parents. Thank him for your wife. Thank him for your husband. Thank him for your daddy. Thank him for your mommy. Thank him for your finances. Thank him. Come on, somebody, open your mouth and give him praise. Open your mouth and give him glory. He's faithful, he's faithful. He's able, he's worthy to be praised. He's been good, he's been wonderful. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Look at you, can let promo Koriga. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I give you glory. Lord, I give you honor. I thank you because of who you are. I give you praise. Because of who you are, I give you glory. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Get lost in his praises. Give him praise. Give him glory. In Jesus' name we worship. Look at me. 1 year I gathered my family together. I said to them, the rest of the year will be days of praise and thanksgiving. I said, we won't even ask him anything. And I told God, I said, God, if you don't do anything for me the rest of this year, what you have done is enough. My friend, my covenant friend, Yemi Adeleju in Nigeria, was going to see his parents where he grew up. And as he was going, he saw a madman coming. So he moved to the other side. The madman moved to that side. Then he moved to the other side. The madman moved to the other side. Then he moved again. By then, they were almost eyeball to eyeball. And the madman said, Yemi, how are you? And he was shocked. You guys said, oh, you can't remember me. We were in primary school together. Yemi said the rest of the way, he was just thanking God. They were in primary school together. One is mad, the other is sane. And you are complaining that your shoe is not good enough, that your blazer is not like Pastor Demola's blazer. Eh? Those are the things that make you to stop praising God. That your house is not as big as that of your neighbor, but you are sane. And you didn't pay for that. And you breathe yourself. And you didn't need an engine to breathe. Oh, my word. And you eat through your mouth and it went down. You don't understand. Some things you count as normal is not normal for some people. Lift up your hand and say, Father, I thank you. You've been good to me. I'm sorry that I owe you praise. It's payback time. From today, I'll praise you and give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. You can be seated. But listen to me. Thank you. You can be seated. Listen to me. I have a few more minutes. Listen. God gave me a revelation when I was in university. The three keys to greatness. Giving, forgiving, thanksgiving. God said, if you keep on giving, and you keep on knowing you are forgiving and forgiving people, and you keep on the lifestyle of thanksgiving, I'll make you great. About 20 years I've done that, and it's making me great. But one thing I discover is constant with the three is giving. Giving, forgiving, thanksgiving. So your thanksgiving is not complete without giving. So I'm going to challenge you today. I don't know what you plan to give before. Maybe you've cut the check. Maybe you've written the check. You need to write another one. Double it. Double it today. Just double it. Let your pounds praise him. God said, these people, they honor me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Some of you, you praise him with your mouth, but your purse, he must not touch. I know you've planned what to give. They say UK people are the most stingy in giving in the world. No, they've given them a word. Well, let that change today. Let your pounds show you are grateful. Some of you give more to your insurance than you give to your God in a month. And it's the number one insurance. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Do you know your God is your number one insurance? You give more to your landlord than you give to God. You give more to your phone company than you give to God. I want you to cut another check. I want you to get ready. I'm going to bless that and I'll go and sit down. I have some books here that will bless your life. Listen to what I'm about to say. There is no difference between a man that cannot read and a man that will not read. Did anybody hear me say that? There is no difference between a man that cannot and a man that will not read. Both of them are illiterate. A man that cannot read is an illiterate by default. A man that will not read is an illiterate by choice. Can I ask you a question? This is the second half. How many books have you read in the first half? I'm not talking about school books. I'm talking about destiny books. How many books have you bought? Some of you have not bought one book. 6 months is gone already. If your TV is bigger than your library, it shows that you are happy watching other people fulfill destiny and you are not fulfilling your own. I have 3 books here on marriage that will help you. I love my spouse, but if you don't buy it because of the content, buy it because of the container. That's the picture of me and my wife there. She's blowing me a kiss and posting like poster color. I wrote this book because a lot of people in life, they come to me for counseling, 30 years running. And you know, I love my husband, but I love my wife, but what do you want to do with the but? In this book, I wrote the story of a man that came home, carried his wife, started dancing. The wife was very happy. The wife was elated. The wife said, are you drunk? The guy said, I'm coming from church. Ah, church? Did pastor preach about romance? The guy said, no, pastor said we should go home and carry our burdens with joy. So before your blessing becomes a burden, this is a good book for you. My wife and I wrote this. I still do. How to make love last forever. Because love does not have an expiry date. I still do. So people that said I do are now saying I'm done. I'm not doing. I'm done for. Before you say that, this is a good book. I wrote this one last year, Marimatics. It's not mathematics, it's marimatics, the almighty formula of a good marriage. It has 10 chapters. One of them is 5 dangerous things you don't do before you say, I do. Solomon's 5 kinds of a woman a man must not marry, and 5 kinds of a man a woman must not marry. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 women, 1 man. So if Solomon says, don't marry this kind, just listen. He had married all of them. 10 truths of true love. 10 love least most test. One young boy came to his pastor. He said, Pastor, I love her. I love her. Pastor said, how do you know you love her? He said, I know. When I'm with her, I can't breathe. Pastor said, that's asthma. That's not love. Go and see a doctor. So how do you know if it is asthma or love? 7 proven steps to marry right and all that and all that. Let every parent buy a copy for your children. They might be young, but let them grow up. One day, they will ask questions about marriage. Let them be able to look into the home library and find one that will answer their question. I have 3 books here on life, Running with a Vision. Yeah, I said vision is a foresight based on an insight with the benefit of hindsight. Years ago, God gave me a revelation from Proverbs chapter 7. I saw a prostitute lure a man to do what she wanted. And Solomon told us 10 things he noticed from the prostitute. And when God gave me that revelation, I now know why prostitutes, they don't do and build, they don't do billboard, they don't do radio advert or TV advert, but yet in every economic doom, they have a boom. The secret is not in the book, Prostitutes' Approach to Business. 10 things you need to do. If you do it in your marriage, in your business, in your ministry, you will be shocked. If you are not picking any book, make sure you pick this. It came out last week, Friday. 7 things champions do before eating breakfast. 7 things. I've studied the life of great men, including Pastor Adeboye, and I discover Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 10 and 17. Ecclesiastes 10, 16 and 17. He said, woe unto you, nation, when your princes eat in the morning. I said, God, are you saying we should no longer eat breakfast? He said, no. Look at the next verse. Verse 17 said, for drunkenness, not for strength. Which means before breakfast, champions have expended strength. So they are eating to get strength back. So what have they spent strength on? I now discover that by the time breakfast is being eaten, there is a difference between champions and chickens, between achievers and mediocres. If you will do this every day of your life, it will change your life. I've done it for years now, and that is why I am where I am today. Somebody said, if you make success of daily habits, then success will become your daily habit. Very important. Make sure you pick this book, and any book you pick is £5, no matter the size, for easy accountability. Then I have some MP3s here. Some of them have 16 messages. Because they said in America, I don't know about UK, an average American spends 200 hours in his car every year. And an average diploma is 200 hours. So if you can listen to a message in your car every time you enter into your car, you can turn your car to a college and give yourself a diploma every year. This is my fastest selling MP3 series, about 16 messages, life coaching. I coach around the world. I'm paid for coaching. Whatever you do, you can become a coach. You don't need to be a football coach to be a coach. How do I become a coach? Whatever you do. The first time in my life, I spoke somewhere in Nigeria for 45 minutes, a company, and they said, normally we pay $75,000, but you blew us out of our minds. This is your check, 1 million naira. I nearly fainted. Number one, since that day, I started arguing. Because I now know the value of my words. That 45 minutes. How do you get to that level? It's in this message. Impact series. Very beautiful. How to build kingdom pillars. There is a message here, surviving betrayal 1 and 2. I call you surviving betrayal, not avoiding betrayal. You can never avoid it. Jesus had 12. One of them betrayed him. Betrayal is one of the most hurtful things in this world. What makes it hurtful is the fact that betrayal is the only offense your enemy cannot commit. It takes a friend to betray. Before they betray, they must first have belonged. Very powerful. People started calling my office. They want some of my fastest selling messages around the world. So we did a bestseller series. Some of my best selling messages. Faith series, very powerful. The just must live by faith. Relationship series, how do I propose? How do I receive a proposal? Spouse management, they've taught you financial management. But this spouse management, 1 and 2. Then there is one there, don't marry this kind. I was preaching in England here years ago. And I said, you will not she marry. And one white girl said, pardon. I said, say amen first. Eh? You will not she marry in Jesus' name. So all of them, any MP3, any book is just £5. Don't forget. It will be, where do we put the books? It will be at the back. Make sure you go there. It's just £5. Praise God. Lift up your offering. I want to bless it. Lift up your offering. Praise God. Be sure you have added your thanksgiving offering with it. Be sure. Lift it up. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a giver. Thank you because our hands can be lifted up. Thank you because only you could have blessed us this much. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for making us to see the second half of this year. We have come with our offering to say thank you. And I pray for everybody whose hands is lifted up, your hand will never go down. You will rejoice the rest of this year. There will be a reason to thank God every day of the year. The latter part will be your better part. So will it be. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God the best praise you can. Amen.